I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 120. As I mentioned earlier this morning, we begin a series of sermons that take us through a section of the Psalter called the Psalms of Ascent. And I'll introduce them in a few moments. But this is a collection of 15 psalms, beginning at Psalm 120 through Psalm 134. And we begin this morning with these words from Psalm 120. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. What will he do to you, and what more besides, O deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am a person of peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Thus far, our reading from God's Word this morning. Eugene Peterson calls the Christian life a long obedience in the same direction. A long obedience in the same direction. It also happens to be the title of a book that I will be leaning on, I'm sure, in the coming weeks as we go through this series together. A book called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, which contains a number of reflections and commentaries on each of the psalms that make up the Psalms of Ascent. 15 psalms that speak of the journey that is the Christian life. As we reflect on these psalms, we'll be reflecting on how it is that life is a journey with God, a journey that is full of a variety of experiences and situations. God calls us to embark on a pilgrimage. A pilgrimage. That is a metaphor that we find again and again in the Scriptures. Remember some of the early church or the early fathers in the Old Testament who walked with God. Noah, Abraham, Moses. This theme of walking, of journeying, of pilgriming is a theme found throughout Scriptures, and the whole of these psalms, all 15 of them, have metaphors or images connected to pilgrimage. We're called by God on a pilgrimage. This journey that we're on, this pilgrimage, has a certain destination. It's full and complete union with God and with fellow human beings in a world that has been recreated, where heaven and earth are joined together, and at the center of that existence is God Himself giving strength and praise to all. The destination of the journey is a certain one, and at that destination there will be an eternal shalom, an eternal peace, eternal well-being for all is in harmony with God. The way to the destination has also been determined. In fact, it's been revealed to us. The way to this destination is none other than Jesus Christ Himself. The Bible says that Jesus is the way. Another way of translating that Greek word is road. Jesus is the road, the way, the truth, and the life. And this way to our destination is nothing less than a living relationship with Jesus Christ, a relationship that's made possible through the indwelling Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus that is given to all who surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. The way of the journey has been revealed to us. And yet this journey is filled with a variety of twists and turns. As we go through these Psalms together in the coming weeks, we will enter into some of the experiences that the psalmist has, that pilgrims have when they journey with God, a journey that is fraught with twists and turns, with struggles. Sometimes we are in awe of God. Sometimes we are so full of joy that it seems to brim over out of our lives. And yet at other times in the journey, we sprain our ankles, or we take a wrong turn altogether and find ourselves in trouble. Sometimes along that journey, the backpack gets very heavy, and the burdens that we carry weigh us down. But people who have gone on this journey before us, people like those who sang these psalms when they were on a journey, people who have gone on this journey before us, perhaps parents or grandparents or people in the Christian history that have written about this journey, they have told us that this journey is unlike any other. In fact, this journey is the one journey that is truly worthwhile, the one journey that truly matters. This journey is sprinkled with new life when everything around us seems to be dying. This journey is sprinkled with new beginning, even when you find yourself in a dead-end road. This journey is sprinkled with new hope, even when you're in places in your life when it feels like the hope has been drained out of you. It's a journey sprinkled with fellow pilgrims, too. There's other people on the road, and it's precisely in fellowship with these people that you find strength and encouragement to continue on. It's often through those people that God Himself stands beside you, and at times even carries you, especially as people remember you in their prayers. But, like it is with every journey that we embark on, it begins with a decision. It begins with a decision to go on the journey. It begins with hearing an invitation to walk in a new direction. For a number of folks, and I would be one of them, I was quite young when I first began to learn that the Christian life was a lot like a journey. It was through my parents, it was through the church that I was part of. It was in that context that I began to learn that I was being called into this journey. I didn't think too much about it, other than I knew an important part of the journey was regularly gathering for worship on Sundays with God's people, participating in different things that taught me about the faith. It wasn't until my teenage years when I publicly stood in front of a congregation and I acknowledged that Jesus Christ was my Lord and I was committing my life to following Him, even though at that time there was so much about the journey that I was not aware of. Some of us experience that a little bit later in life. Maybe as children we were completely unaware that there was this God who had created the world and had called us into relationship with Him, completely unaware, but at some point in life, perhaps through a friend or a program on television or something, we began to see life from a different perspective. And something in our heart began to change, and we made a commitment to Jesus Christ as we heard His voice calling us into fellowship. Like any journey, the journey begins with with a call and a decision to go in a new direction. These 15 psalms that we're going to be going through are psalms that the tradition has sung by pilgrims who would travel to Jerusalem. These were psalms that pilgrims would sing as they traveled to the city of peace, Jerusalem, the city of peace. And not only was that a physical city where the temple of God was located and where pilgrims could go to celebrate the three annual feasts, but this was a city that had a symbolic significance for the people of God, because the city of peace represented a future in which the peace of God would literally spread throughout the world, in which the peace of God one day would rest fully on all creation. And as these psalms were sung together, as they were chanted, as they were meditated on, when pilgrims were making that journey to Jerusalem, they were reminded of the journey of life and a God who walked with his people on their journeys. Whatever twists and turns might come, they were called to reflect on the goodness of God. The three feasts that they would journey to Jerusalem for were the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and of Tabernacles. Passover to celebrate God's salvation for them as he brought them out of bondage in Egypt into fellowship with him. The Feast of Pentecost to celebrate and renew their covenant commitments with God. And the Feast of Tabernacles to celebrate the way in which God blessed them daily with good gifts. As the pilgrims journeyed to Jerusalem, they were reminded of their whole of life as a journey with God. And so this fall, we reflect on these psalms. And I would invite you at the outset to maybe make these psalms part of your daily or weekly devotions. Take one psalm a day, read it, reflect on it, pray over it, maybe go through these 15 psalms a number of times in the coming weeks and months, and allow the Holy Spirit to draw you into this journey that he has called you on through these wonderful psalms. Psalm 120 begins with a deep recognition that there is another way. As you hear the words of Psalm 120, you hear someone calling on the Lord in their distress. And whenever anyone experiences some measure of distress, whether it's physical distress, whether it's emotional distress or spiritual distress, whenever we experience that, we're looking for some new way, some new treatment, some medication, some word of encouragement, some new path that takes us out of our distress, that alleviates whatever suffering we're experiencing. Psalm 120 begins with this yearning that there is another way. In my distress, I called to the Lord. And there is gospel promise in these opening verses, because the Lord hears our cry. The beginning of a journey with God is to recognize that there is another way. There is a way that brings us to the holy city, the place of peace, the place of shalom, the place of well-being. There is another way. And it's only in our distress often that we are drawn to another way, given this yearning for something more, something bigger, something better. If we're going to begin this long journey to the city of peace, we have to have that. And this morning, God invites us to know that there is another way. And that's a word of hope and promise, not just for people who are beginning their journey of discipleship, people who are brand new to the faith, or even people who are yet wondering about that faith, wondering if it's even true. That wonderful promise in the opening verse of this psalm is for all of us who find ourselves in distress, in seasons of anxiety or hardship or grief, finding ourselves in seasons where relationships have been broken and we're not sure about our future. In my distress, the psalmist says, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. He answered me. The psalmist immediately transitions in a way that perhaps for us is a hard shift to make. We wonder what it is that he's getting at here. Save me, Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. Save me, Lord, from alternative paths, we might add. Paths that promise something but in the end are dead-end roads. Paths that hold out hope but in the end it's simply a pit of despair. There are all kinds of lying lips that we hear, even in our own life. Though undoubtedly the psalmist has in mind things that are different than we might have in mind. The psalmist lives in a culture where tribes are often at war with each other, where tribes use violence to conquer and oppress neighboring tribes. The psalmist is imagining this journey to Jerusalem where they encounter very real threats, where they sometimes have to pass through lands that are inhabited by people who worship other gods, and even people who may bring a threat or trouble to these pilgrims on their journey. Save me from lying lips, O God. Though our context might be quite different than the ones these pilgrims might have been on, we too hear voices in our culture that entice us, that speak to us, words that may seem appealing, but words that are filled with lies. Think about this one. Everything's going to be okay in the end. It doesn't really matter what path you take in life. It doesn't really matter which spiritual journey you're on, which religion you might seek to embrace. It doesn't really matter what truth you hold as your own. After all, truth is relative. And in the end, everything's going to be okay. It's the sincerity of the journey. That's all that matters. You might hear in this kind of a voice, the voice of Oprah Winfrey, a kind of spirituality that has no hooks to it, that has no offense to it. Do whatever your heart draws you to, in the end, it'll all be okay. A very appealing lie. There's no judgment in that lie. There's only acceptance in that lie. Everything's going to be okay in the end. Or we're just here for not a long time, but a good time. So make the best of it. Pursue those things in life that bring happiness. Focus on those things that help you connect with what's really alive in the center of your being. Pursue the lifestyle that brings you leisure, happiness, joy. Pursue those things, whatever it is. We're not here for a long time, for a good time. And so enjoy life. Live it up. These lies, they have an appeal to them. And at times, God's people don't even know when they're really connecting their lives with those things. In the end, I'm okay, you're okay. You believe what you need to believe, what gives you security in life. If this kind of lifestyle is something that you're okay with, don't let other people tell you otherwise. Can't we just all get along with each other? Can't we just all tolerate each other and accept each other, whatever the lifestyles are that people choose? These are the kinds of cultural lies that we swim in. And sometimes God's people don't even know how deeply these lies are even affecting their own hearts. This psalmist prays, "Save me, O God, from liars. Save me from deceitful lips. Save me from those ideas, those ways of living that hold out an appeal, that seem to offer something which in the end are dead-end roads. Save me, O God." Psalm 120 begins with something that Christians throughout history have come to know and believe deep in their hearts. We live among liars, and we need to turn from God, or turn away from them to God in repentance. In a very real sense, this journey begins with repentance. "In my distress, I called to you, O God, and you answered me. You saved me from lying lips, and you turned my life, and you pointed in the right direction. You pointed to that city of peace. You pointed in the direction where shalom, forgiveness, wholeness awaits. You point me in the direction where I can find truth and know truth and live in a way that is pleasing to you and a blessing to others." The journey begins with repentance. This is the decision to change one's direction and turn to God. Eugene Peterson, in his book, writes, "A person has to get fed up with the ways of the world before he or she acquires an appetite for the world of grace. If we're comfortable living in a world of lies, then there's no distress, no despair, no sense of surely there is more to life than this." We have to get fed up with believing the lies. Psalm 120 is an invitation to call on the Lord and set out in a new direction. As you know, or many of you know, Kim and I recently had the opportunity to travel to China. And I shared a little bit about that trip one Sunday evening. We had opportunity to meet a number of students and scholars that had visited our church when they were in Canada studying. And we also had opportunity to connect with people who are giving leadership to a growing Christian school movement that's taking place in China. Remarkably, schools often connected with house churches, schools that are experiencing a remarkable growth. And one of the gentlemen that we spoke to, whose name was Chris, is the director of what's called the Chinese Christian Education Association, a broad network of schools that are operating throughout the country. And I remember when we were sitting together in around a table and he was sharing a little bit about the vision that's kind of behind these schools. He said, "Increasingly, Christians in China, especially the ones who are sending their kids to these schools," which is very significant because these schools are full of children who are not registered in the public system. That means when they graduate, unless something changes, when they graduate, they will have no academic records. They will not be able to enroll in any university in China or college. "By faith," he said, "parents are sending these kids to these schools because," he didn't use this language, this is Peterson's language, but I'll use it, "because they're fed up with the Communist Party way of educating children, especially with the worldview that's present in the education system." He didn't say fed up. He said, "They are so convicted by a worldview that's dominated through the kingdom of God that they are making decisions to send their children to be educated in a worldview that recognizes the lordship of Jesus Christ." When I asked questions like, "What are parents going to do when their children are not able to go into universities in China or colleges because they have no academic records?" He said, "What would you have them do? Would you have them send their children and be schooled in a system that teaches there is no God? Would you have them send their children and be schooled in a system where they're taught simply to work very hard, get the best grades, so they get the best jobs, so they earn the most money, so they live the happiest life possible? Would you have them go to that worldview? Or would you have them send their children to a school that teaches the Lordship of Jesus Christ and submits to Him? He said, the kind of prosperity that China has seen in the last 30 years has touched many, many people's lives. People who 20 years ago didn't own a car or didn't have a television have come into a middle-class lifestyle, which has afforded them all kinds of things that they didn't know just a generation ago. It's brought a wealth and a prosperity to the country, and that has affected the lives of people. But Christians are finding that this is a lifestyle that's empty. This is a lifestyle that promises peace, promises happiness, promises joy, but it's an empty lifestyle. And as I listened to Chris share some of this, and he did it with all kinds of passion. In fact, he's committed his life to seeing this kind of education spread throughout the country. I said, boy, Chris, I would love it if you could come to Vancouver and share some of this vision with the church in Canada. Because we have lived in a climate where so often we have become so accustomed to the good life. We have become so accustomed to a life of leisure and of comfort and of prosperity that too often the church has found itself lukewarm with respect to God and His kingdom. The church succumbs to the lies of the culture. We need to turn, as the psalmist invites us, to cry out in our distress, turn to God and turn away from the lies. Too long I have lived among those who hate peace. I am a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war. The context I told you is one where much violence takes place amongst neighboring nations. We don't experience perhaps this kind of situation, but we do experience a world where many of the culture's appeals are dead-end roads, promising happiness but hold out things that do not satisfy. At the beginning of this journey, the first step is a step of repentance. The first step is turning to God, calling out to Him, and knowing that the city of peace, Jerusalem, which in the scriptures at the end of the story descends from heaven and rests on a recreated earth, a place where God and humanity experience full fellowship. This journey has been opened up by Jesus. No other great leader, no other spiritual figure, religious or otherwise, has opened up this journey. Only Jesus. And this morning, as a congregation, we're invited to commit ourselves once again, or perhaps for the first time, to walking with Jesus, to allowing Him to be Lord of our life, to surrendering ourselves, surrendering every part of our life to His Lordship, to His desires for us. The first step of the journey is a journey that God calls us on with Jesus Christ. And so this morning, as we pilgrim with God, we turn to Him and offer ourselves to Him. Let's join together in a word of prayer.